This is Audible. Dodge and Twist, an Audible original drama by Tony Lee.
Mr. Dickens, it's time.
Is it? My, how time flies. Let's see then.
Chapter 1, in which an older, wiser Oliver Twist returns to London town to regain a stolen fortune. Once upon a time, there was a young orphan by the name of Oliver Twist. He was raised in the misery of the workhouse and cast out for daring to ask for more. Oliver was soon apprenticed to an undertaker, where he was beaten by an older apprentice, Noah Claypole. Eventually, Oliver escaped from this world into a far more frightening one, named London. There he was taken in by an old man, Fagin, and his ward, the Artful Dodger. And Oliver soon found that this life was even worse than the one he'd run from. Fagin and Dodger forced Oliver to rob, to steal, and he would soon have been thrown in jail were it not for Mr. Brownlow, a kindly gentleman who took Oliver into his care. For the first time, Oliver found peace. But it didn't last long. For Fagin's accomplice, Bill Sykes, kidnapped Oliver, forcing him to steal for Fagin once more. It was a wretched life, and Fagin's protégé, Nancy, was the only friend that Oliver had. When Nancy was murdered and Sykes was killed in an accidental hanging, Oliver began to dream of escape again. This time, luck was on his side. Fagin and Dodger finally faced justice. Dodger was deported to Australia, Fagin was given the noose, and Oliver was adopted by the kindly Mr. Brownlow as they left London for a new life. But only stories have happy endings. 12 years later, in the year of our Lord 1851, Oliver returned to London once more. He was penniless and at the mercy of others, just as he had been all those years earlier.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Excuse me. I say hello.
You stand there, lad, and the cattle will run you over.
Oh, right. Thank you. Might I ask if you know the way to Clerkenwell?
You want the Inns of Court?
Yes, sir. Gray's Inn Road. But I've lost my bearings. Not been here for a long time.
Well, I take my cows up past King's Cross that way.
Oh, I know the way from there. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Watch where you're going.
Yes, sir. I will, sir.
Got a scum like you should watch out for your betters.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. I hate this place.
You all right, boss? Tough get your goat, did he?
There's no point picking my pocket, lad. It's empty.
Yeah, I can see that, Governor. You don't exactly look like you've got a case of the la-di-da's. Don't fret. The kids round here won't touch you. We recognise our own.
Thank you, I think.
Come on then. London's a scary place. Keep an eye out for you as we walk.
I'm sorry?
I heard you say a Gray's Inn Road. Well, just so happens I'm going that way myself. Name's Ezra.
Brownlow. Oliver Brownlow.
Pleasure to meet you, Oliver.
It all looks so different.
You been here before?
Briefly. When I was about your age.
Oh yeah? Where?
Field Lane. There was an old man.
You stole for Fagin.
You know him?
He's a legend round here. before my time, but the stories are still told. Did you know Bill Sykes, the Awful Dodger?
In passing.
Shame what happened to them all. So why'd you leave? Newgate? Deportation?
I had a chance to better myself. I took it.
Oh, I see. Keep up then, Twist.
What did you call me?
Twist. Street slang. Have you never heard of it? I thought you said you came from round here. It means street scum with delusions of grandeur.
And you think that's me?
Well, you say you got out for a better life. No offence, but here you are back in London, dirty and penniless. Sounds like a twist to me. The streets are behind us. So, why Gray's Inn Road?
I'm going to see a solicitor's, Babcock and Willis. They held my adopted father's accounts.
So why ain't he here instead of you?
He died a few months ago.
What, and the toffs won't give you his money?
They froze his accounts while he was ill. Some kind of miscommunication.
Oh yes, I'm sure it was.
I used my own inheritance to pay the staff, the bills, but that soon dried up. Now he's dead and there's nothing left to pay our debts.
That why you walked here?
I can't afford a carriage. I've been walking for 3 days now, sleeping in barns and ditches. Wait. That bookseller's. I remember it. The sign's green now, but it used to be red. I was given a bundle of books once and £5 to deliver them here. Well, I never could, though. Ezra? Bored of me already. Well, I would be too. Should I go in? I could apologise for what happened, if they'd even remember me.
Here, what the bloody hell do you think you're gulping at?
No, I wasn't staring at you, I swear. I was looking at the booksellers behind you.
Yeah? Well, go look at some other bookseller. I don't do freebies for people like you.
I'm truly sorry. I never meant to...
Aggie. She's no Nancy, to be sure, but she could teach you a trick or two if you wanted.
Dodger?
Oh, good to be remembered. I heard you were off to make your money with your new daddy, Oliver.
And I heard you were in Australia, Dodger.
Reminding me about my incarceration. That's no way to greet an old friend. You never were a friend, were you? You were a plague upon us. A hindrance. A murderer.
Now, that's not fair. You used me. You took me off the street and you taught me to steal for you.
I took you off the street and gave you food in your belly and a safe place to lay your head. Do you know what would have happened if I hadn't come by? If I hadn't seen you lying in that doorway, your face covered in dirt and tears, your feet bloodied and blistered. It wasn't a pretty fate you were looking at. The fate of a 10-year-old, pretty, blonde, innocent boy on the streets of London.
You don't know that would have happened.
Oh, we both know. I gave you life, Oliver. You look like you're walking somewhere. Let me join you.
Do I get a choice?
Not really.
Right, Mr. Dawkins, have a loaf on me.
Oh, too kind. This is my street, see? Same as he ever was. Thing about Australia, it isn't a life sentence. I did my 6 years and then came back.
How?
I got well-paid work out there. Enough for me to come back when my time was up, better dressed than when I left. And it was like nothing changed. Well, apart from Nancy and Fagin and Sykes all being dead and that.
And today you just happen to be walking down the same street as me. Am I supposed to believe this is just an accident?
Oh, no. That'd be stupid. I've had eyes on you since Hampstead, and I paid Ezra to lead you to me.
If this is about what happened to Fagin...
Fagin was a mad old man with a thing for handkerchiefs. He's better off dead.
Then if it's about my money...
Twist. Ever the optimist. Thinking I'm after your money when I know that you don't have any.
You don't know that?
I know everything, Oliver. I know how Brownlow died and how you spent your inheritance on his treatments and his debts. The debts that were incurred when his solicitors wouldn't give any of his hard-earned money to you. How am I doing so far?
It's a bookkeeping error, nothing more.
They're not going to give it to you. They'll dispute your legal claim and you know damn well they'll drag it through the courts. And looking at you, Twist... I don't think you've got two pennies to rub together, let alone enough to contest your claim in a court of law.
You're wrong.
Am I? Who gets the money if they don't give it to you?
Mr. Brownlow didn't have any other dependents.
I said, who gets the money?
Well, they do, I suppose.
Damn right they do. And you thought that Fagin and Bill Sykes were the biggest crooks you'd ever met. You ain't seen the half of it, me old chum. What would you have done with the money anyway?
Oh, paid off my debts and got on with my life. Become a school teacher or maybe even a bookseller.
And what will you do if you don't get the money? I can't see people buying books from a pauper. Where would you get your stock from? Stolen goods, that's where.
I won't steal.
Ah, that's what they all say. I tell you what, my dove. I'll make you a promise. For old time's sake.
Go on.
Your mate Charlie found honest labour. You found a father. The rest of us, not so good.
What do you mean?
Toby Crackett had his neck stretched 5 years ago at Newgate. Billy Two Fingers became a snakesman, then fell from the third floor of the Royal Exchange. Little Petey joined the army, killed 6 months later. Tommy Chitlin hanged himself after Bet died in childbirth.
Are you all right?
Just dust in the eye. Look, I could go on. For every 10 of us, 2, maybe 3 still live. So, I'll make you a promise. Because you were one of Fagin's family, whether you like it or not, and because of that, if they do stiff you out of your money today, come and find me.
Why, so you can laugh at me?
No, so I can get it for you, somehow.
Just like that? What's the pull, Dodger? What do you want from me?
The offices of Babcock and Willis are up there on the left. Go and speak to them, find out your destiny. I'll see you later.
And if you don't?
Then find me in Field Lane, where it all started. Good luck, Twist. You're gonna need it.
Hello? Are these the offices of Babcock and Willis?
And you are?
Oliver Brownlow, sir.
Ah, well, in that case, I'm Babcock, this is Willis. Come in, you're letting the warmth out and London in.
Wonderful man, Mr. Brownlow.
I suppose you're the boy.
The boy?
The one he moved out of London for, who claims he was adopted.
Claims? I was here when you signed the documents. I stood in the corner and watched you authorise it.
Well, I'm sure that as a child you remember things differently to how they occurred, but as his solicitors...
As his solicitors, you should know better. Not once did you send money when we needed it. I spent every penny I had to help. Your client was on his deathbed and you did nothing.
And we're all very sorry about the administrative error that caused such a terrible mishap. But that was then, and this is now.
And the fact of the matter is that of this moment, Mr. Brownlow is dead. And as Mr. Brownlow's solicitors, it is our grave duty to inform you, Mr. Twist, that our client never acknowledged you as his son.
That's a lie. Mr. Grimwig was a witness.
There is no will in the records. In the eyes of the law, you are not connected to Mr. Brownlow in any way. Do I make myself clear?
Dodger was right.
What was that?
I said yes. I understand. Well, that's it then. I have nothing.
Not true. I see a golden locket around your neck. That'd fetch a few pounds at a jeweler, perhaps.
I will never sell this locket, Mr. Babcock. Even if I'll be on the streets, thanks to you.
I'm sorry, lad, it's out of our hands. Without the paperwork to prove your claim, you're nothing more than a chancer, trying to gain money from a dead man.
But we're not monsters. Here, take this. It's only a guinea, but it'll at least get you a bed and some food, perhaps even a ticket to find your real family.
Thank you. I'll pay it back when I'm able.
Well, there's no need for that.
Oh, but there is. You have taken my rightful inheritance and my family home. You have stolen my name, returning me to Twist, a name that a good, fine man removed 12 years ago when he called me son.
Now look here.
I don't want a single hell-spawn penny from you. But you have left me no option but to be in your debt. And when you're in debt to the devil, you always pay your dues.
Now I say...
No, I say... I say that what goes around comes around, and for your crimes today, you will be judged in a court far higher than the ones you practice in. And nothing will save you when you bear false witness against God himself. Good day, sirs.
Do you know, I think he genuinely believes he has a case.
We need to check our records. I'm beginning to wonder if we're being played for a fool here, and not by young Mr. Twist.
Clark, get me the Brownlow files. Make it the last 20 years' worth. And while you're at it, look for anything we hold on the Edwin Leaford inheritance.
It might be nothing.
True, but I'd rather face God with a clean conscience, wouldn't you?
I'm sorry, Father. I don't know what to do now. It's all been for nothing.
Here he goes, Fagin. Chucked out, just like you said. You knew they'd keep the money. Now he'll have to help us.
Ah, Dodger, my dear. You always was my favourite. The others, they never truly understood me. But you, you was like a son to me.
I'll do what I promised. I'll avenge you right and proper, I will.
That twist, he's well spoken, he is. Talks like nobility. Educated. He'll scrub up well. It's in his blood, isn't it?
And more importantly, he's never been arrested, which makes him unknown to the Crushers.
And what of the diamond, Dodger, my boy? Do you know where it is?
I've always known, Fagin. Ever since Bombay. We'll let him stew until tonight, then we'll set the bait. I'll bring him in and keep him with us, right up until the moment we take the diamond.
And then what, my boy?
Dodger! Who are you talking to?
Nobody. I was just thinking aloud.
I seen Oliver walking off. Do you want me to keep following him?
Good boy, Ezra. Let me know where he goes.
I won't let you down.
One more question, Dodger. Will you have the fortitude to do what must be done? To avenge a terrible wrongdoing?
I'll do what needs to be done. Then I'll leave the body for the authorities to find.
Sorry, Mother. Father. I've let you both down. Oh, can't believe I thought they'd help me.
Hello? Hello, is anyone there?
Don't worry. Not worth mugging.
Oh, you weren't kidding. You don't want to be walking down here late at night, mister. This fog, they'll have you down before they see you.
Nancy?
What did you say?
I'm sorry. The fog, I couldn't make you out.
Why did you call me Nancy?
Because for a moment you looked like someone I once knew.
My sister was called Nancy, died over 10 years back. How could you know her?
Oh, it's difficult to explain. I was a child.
Oh, Jesus, you were one of Fagin's brats, weren't you? Done well for yourself since then, have you? Don't look like it.
It's been a bad week.
I couldn't tell. Well, little Fagin brat, you don't want it getting worse. We'll get out into the Strand or somewhere where there's gas lamps. You're just waiting for a quick end down here. There are some nasty people around.
Why are you down here?
Maybe I'm one of them. Stay safe, Fagin brat.
Wait. Don't go. I'm the reason your sister's dead. I've got no fight left in me. They won.
Well, well, well. What do we have here?
I'm just leaving. I don't want to cause any trouble.
Oh, you ain't going to cause us anything, lad. We're hanging around Safford Temple in the dead of night. Nobody in their right mind does that, unless they have a death wish or something.
Do you have a death wish?
No, but I've had a really bad day. I'll just...
Did I tell you to move? I tell you what. You give us what money you have, and whatever that drink is that's in your hand, and we'll let you walk. How's that sound?
Look, here's a guinea. It's all I have in the world. It's yours if you'll just leave me alone.
What's in your hand?
Just a cheap old locket with a picture of my mother and father inside. It's all I have left of them. Please, just let me walk away. It's really nothing of consequence.
Ooh, consequence. I could have well-spoken, young toff.
Look at him throwing guineas around like they're nothing. You a posh one? Slumming it in the gutters for some slap and tickle with the dolly mops?
No.
Then show me the locket you've got in your hand.
Over my dead body?
Lovely grub, my favourite kind.
Oh, look, he's trying to get up.
Don't even think about it, son. You little bleed, I'm going to slit your throat for that.
Sykes, someone's coming. Grab the locket and go.
No. Please, help.
I don't know, Twist. I'll leave you alone a couple of hours and already you're making new friends.
Dodger?
Let's get you up. Bloody hellfire. That's a nasty cut you've got there.
Oh, they took my locket. It was all I had left of my parents.
Don't worry about that now, Twist. Come on, you need a stiff drink. Here, drink that.
You were right, Dodger, about everything.
Yeah, I know. It's a curse. So, let's get this trinket of yours back.
Well, how?
Well, for a start, they'll need to fence it. I might be able to help. I can ask about it and such like. What did the robbers look like?
Well, I couldn't see their faces through the fog. And it sounded like they disguised their voices.
Well, what were they wearing? Hats? Scarves?
Bowler hats. One was called Suggs.
You sure about that?
Yeah, his friend shouted it when they ran. Why?
Because Suggs and Holland are well known around here, and they both wear bowlers. You're lucky, though.
I don't feel it.
Well, you should. They're usually to be found around Seven Dials or Pocket Inn in the Tyburn crowds. If they killed you, the Crushers would never have them pegged for it. They don't frequent this area, see? Makes them uncomfortable.
Can you find the robbers and get my locket back? Or give me the address and a stick and I'll go there myself.
Oh, whoa there. There's an easier way. I'll let my business associate sort it out. Here he comes.
Bill Sykes.
Jesus, you took a real lump to the head, didn't you? Sykes is dead. Don't you recognise your old mate, Noah?
Noah?
Noah Claypole. Worked for Sabre the Undertaker with you.
Evening, Dodger. Workers.
You're working with Noah Claypole?
Call him the Sykes to my Fagin. Now, Noah, I need a little favour. Suggs and Holland took a little locket from Oliver just a few minutes ago. Could you be a devil and get it back for me?
Suppose. I know where to drink. I'll go and have a word and meet you back at the lair. Later, workers.
Why does he call you workers?
He's saying workhouse. It's his way of reminding me of my place.
Well, tonight, your place is by my side. Come on, I'll treat you to a pie and ale. Then, we'll go back to Fagin's old place and you can rest up.
I can't pay you, Dodger. I can't do anything.
I don't be so sure about that, Oliver, my lad. Here you go, Twist. Home sweet home. But you didn't think you'd be here again, did you?
It seems smaller.
That's because you're bigger. And it's not filled with snotty little bleeders like we were. Hey, do you remember when Charlie Bates slipped on an handkerchief and fell down the stairs into the street? Almost broke his bloody neck, he did.
I know, but I remember the stairs being a death trap.
Bill Sykes' ones were worse. Still, Fagin always says, a difficult terrain is a good defence.
Said.
What?
You mean Fagin said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Never saw those shelves filled with books before.
A man should always expand his mind.
I don't see any handkerchiefs around. How do you continue the family business without stock?
Fagin was a different man to me. He had different dreams. Claypole should be back soon, with or without your locket. Either way, you'll have retribution.
Retribution is your idea, Dodger, not mine.
Oh, yeah? And what's your idea, then? Because from what I've seen, you ain't got a blooming clue.
I'll think of something.
And if Noah turns up with your locket, what will you do then? Stay around? Walk back home? Oh, yeah, I forgot. You don't have a home anymore, do you?
There's honest work up north.
Ah, true. Charlie Bates went north. Got some honest work as a farmer, I think. Was it a copper, even? Problem is, though, Oliver, that you and Charlie are cut from two different cloths. Charlie spent time on the streets, so his cloth is tough, unrelenting. You, your cloth is thin, delicate, never allowed out of the closet, easy to rip apart, disposable. Basically, you're an handkerchief. Here, have some tea.
There's more to me than what you've seen.
I hope so, because all you used to do was whine and cry. And let's not forget your uncanny ability to get caught every time you went near a criminal act.
I don't see that as a bad thing.
What if I said I had some work for you?
I'd say that I was too old to be Fagin's pickpocket again.
I ain't no Fagin. And you sure as hell ain't no pickpocket. I'm talking something far, far bigger.
What do you know about diamonds?
I know they're expensive.
Well, that's a start, I suppose. Here, have a gander at this. You see, I know a lot about them. Especially since I got back from Bombay.
I thought you went to Australia.
Came back the long way. And when I was in India, I first heard about a Koh-i-Noor diamond. Go on, turn to page 27.
It says it's the largest diamond in the world. But it also says it's locked away in India. What's this got to do with you?
It's not in India anymore. Lord Dalhousie brought it to England last year as a present for Queen Victoria. And from the start of next month, it'll be displayed at the Great Exhibition at Hyde Park.
And then what?
And then, during this wonderful event, watched by the world's press, I intend to steal it.
I thought for a second you were being serious. Steal a diamond from the Queen!
Shut up! I was being serious. I can do it. Finally move out from Fagin's shadow.
You're insane. You're talking about stealing from Queen Victoria. That's treason. You do more than just hang for things like that.
I know that I can do it. Do you really think I'd have told you all of this if I didn't and then let you live?
You brought me here to kill me. Is this your revenge for Fagin?
Oh, shut up, Twist. If I wanted you dead, I'd have done it ages ago. The truth is, I need you.
I'm sorry? What?
No matter what I do, where I go, I'm known. I'm a face, Oliver. Even on my first day back, with a decade between me and the beat, the coppers still knew my name. I need someone with me on this who's never been caught, never been seen. Someone clean who's never been in trouble. That's you.
There must be hundreds in London like that.
Well, there are, but you and me, we've got history. Whether it's for good or bad. And currently, you need me as much as I need you. I promised you I'd get you the money you're owed, remember? So we've got to trust each other.
But to steal this! I can't even say what you're attempting to do. You're telling me that you'll regain my money by stealing something that cannot be stolen. Now, what if I say no? What if I say that I don't owe you?
We'll discuss that in a moment. First, come with me. I've got something to show you.
What now, Dodger? It's been a long day and I'm sick of surprises.
I'll bet you got time for one more. Did you find it, Noah?
Reckon so. It's your luck here.
It is. How did you get it?
Sog screamed like a little girl before giving it up. Broke three of his fingers and a toe. I heard the monks threw that locket into the Thames. How'd you get it back?
It's a different one. It was given to me by my adopted father on my 18th birthday.
You said you didn't owe me, Oliver. Well, I'd say you owe me now. Wouldn't you?
I can't survive with the morals I have. And I can't regain my money unless I break them. So, what's the plan, Dodger?
Let's go back upstairs. Somewhere more private, where I can go over everything.
After you, workers.
Right then. Pull up a seat, gents, and listen closely, for class is in session. I happen to know that during the first few weeks of the Great Exhibition, the British Museum will be making an exact replica of the Koh-i-Noor diamond, proportionately correct in every way.
Why?
Because, although the Queen wants a diamond on display to honour the Indian people, our government don't like the idea.
They don't want it where thousands of grubby Londoners will have a go at stealing it.
So the government want a fake on display?
An exact fake. So good that even old Queenie can't tell the difference.
Is that possible?
Oh, yeah.
We're supposed to have it done before the exhibition, but it was a problem.
What sort of a problem?
Someone damaged the first replica.
Just enough to ensure that it wasn't as accurate a copy as it was supposed to be.
You?
I couldn't possibly comment.
Oh, funny that. Dodger likes to comment all the bloody time.
They can't show the damaged replica at the exhibition. So, the British Museum need to have a second crack at it. And here's where the fun begins. You see,
They haven't told the Queen yet that they botched the first job up.
And you know this how?
I've told you before, Twist. I know everything. Lovely. Now, it seems that the board of directors of the British Museum are panicking. There's a bit of a hoo-ha in India over who actually owns the diamond.
And who does?
Well, the late Maharaja willed it to a Hindu temple, but his orders was never followed after he died. And then, of course, a couple of years ago, when our jolly fellows hoisted their flag there, that nice Lord Dalhousie took it and sent it to England.
Spoils of war. Nice way of saying legal theft.
At the end of the exhibition, the real diamond will be recut for Queen Victoria. I think she wants it in a crown or something. But she wants the British Museum to always have the copy on show.
She wants the Indians to believe the diamond is still complete.
Exactly. Because, obviously, they'd be overjoyed at their biggest, most important diamond being chopped up for crown jewellery.
The government can put the damaged replica out, and it's good enough to fool us peasants.
But the Queen, when she visits the exhibition, she can ask for a closer look. When she sees it's fake, there'll be trouble.
Because the government went against her will.
Exactly. So they need the best forgery possible.
From the British Museum.
Mm-hmm. For 2 whole weeks, they'll bring the diamond out and cut and shape the replica, working under strict supervision. At the end of each day, the original will return to a well-guarded safe, deep in the offices of the Administrative Curator for Medieval Antiquities.
They think it's safe because nobody knows.
That is when I intend to take it.
But it's still an impossible pull.
It's still easier than pinching it at a great exhibition. Also, since the British Museum are keeping this quiet, they won't announce it to the world when we steal the real thing.
We're also saying that this lovely diamond in the exhibition that everyone's been fucking their pennies at to see is a bit of a joke.
Which will give us a few weeks to fence it right and proper like. Now, I know this job won't be easy.
That's an understatement.
It'll involve pickpocketing.
Bribery.
Safe-cracking. Brinkmanship.
And corruption.
And that's just the easy parts. The chances are that by the end of this, we'll end up in Newgate.
Or dead.
It's a tough choice, but let's face it, Oliver. This is the only way you will earn so much money so quickly. You can pay your debts, then take on Babcock and Willis in the courts, and win back what you're owed. What have you got to lose?
Only my soul, Dodger. Only my soul.
And so young Oliver found himself at the mercy of the artful Dodger once more. But this time the adventure looked to be far more dangerous than ever before. Could Oliver keep his head and survive this? Would Dodger listen to the ghost of Fagin and end Oliver's life? Would Noah Claypole beat him to it? And what of Betsy, Nancy's younger sister? What would she do when she realized who Oliver truly was? Oliver Twist was an innocent in a room full of vipers, all ready to strike. And the story had only just begun.